With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Lead the fan podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. Fresh from back in the day when Nessa played at the park. 7 p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birds to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast patron to the show. Lead the pen. Get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pen.
Welcome back, podcast patrons, to Leave the Pen podcast. I'm your host, Dan. I got my co-host, Scott. This is episode 201. We haven't done it in about 5 months, but we're back, baby.
You know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We hibernate, and then we come back, and we're better than ever. So I got my Arnold Palmer here. I'm ready to go. Let's talk some golf.
All right, so I'm going to tell you this, Scott. Like, right off the bat, like, our hibernation is a complete reverse hibernation, right? Most people would be going into hibernation mode right now, especially us living in the Northeast. And let's kind of catch people back up. It's been 5 months since we recorded, right? Why? I mean, because quite honestly, we do whatever the hell we want, and we're not beholden to anybody. But Scott and I are both teachers, and the end of the summer is a very busy season coming back to work, me especially with coaching golf, as most people know. But Scott and I are super busy in the summertime because that's kind of our free time, right? That's how we live as retired people, if you will, for 3 months out of the year.
Well, I actually work during the summer now, but
that it sucks.
I know, but it's still there's still plenty of golf time, especially. Again, I said it before, my private club does not get a ton of play. So for me to go out and play nine holes is it's maybe an hour and a half process, sort of door to course to play to back to my car. And that's not even playing quick. So, I really can't complain.
All right, so let's kind of dive back a little bit, Scott. This episode is going to be all over the place. We're getting our feet wet again, right? We'll talk about a bunch of stuff. We're going to play a new game later on in the podcast. But one of the things that legit literally blew me away. So we have not recorded, you and I, for like 6 months, 6.5 months. The last Leave the Pin podcast recording was with my buddy Alex Podlager from Pinehurst. That was, would you say, June 18th or something like that?
June 18th.
Okay, June 18th, 2023. Literally the start of the summer. And quite honestly, right after that happened, I went on vacation. I was over in Europe with my son, my youngest son, and then came back, ton of golf tournaments for my oldest son, travel baseball. Another family vacation, college visits, the season starts up. You know, we're running hard all the way through literally the beginning of this week where we just finished up at State. So it's been a while since we recorded. But let me throw these numbers at you. First off, if people don't know, our original hosting site, Anchor, got bought out by Spotify, right? If someone wants to buy out this podcast and give us some money, contact Scott and I. Send us a DM on Instagram, at Leave the Pin. There's something called Spotify Impressions, Scott. Have you heard of this?
I haven't even really. So I did, once Anchor got bought out by Spotify, I did, for work purposes, make a Spotify podcast account.
Okay.
And then I've done absolutely nothing with it. So it exists, but it's not been accessed since the day I created it.
So I'm not really even sure if I have a Spotify podcast account. I think I do, and I think that's when I try to log in the beginning. It shows me we have, you know, no plays, no episodes, no audience, no background whatsoever. I got really worried over the summer one time when I tried to log in. I thought everything was lost. FYI, I had no idea Spotify even bought out Anchor. didn't really affect me until I tried logging in. But I finally got the login. I got the password. Again, Scott and I will sell that to you at a high price if you want. But they have this thing, Scott, called Spotify Impressions. And they say that this is the number of times your show or any of your episodes were shown to anyone on Spotify over the last 30 days. Scott, true or false, we have been completely dormant over the last 30 days.
Completely true. You and I have barely spoke in the last 30 days.
This is very true.
We haven't spoken in person in months, probably. Yeah, and obviously, we've texted, but that's been about it.
Yeah. And, you know, to say I've been busy is literally an understatement. And I have gotten a ton of people that have messaged us through DMs like, hey, you guys good? I see you post, but are you ever going to record again? And that really made me happy because people are still caring. You said someone at work, the guy,
the custodian who cleans the office up is he's a big time fan. And he asked me all the time, like, what's going on with your podcast? Because he's a big golfer. And he told me, he's like, sometimes like I'll go if I'm not playing with someone, I throw the headphones on and I listen to podcasts. He's like, yours is one of them, so get going.
So I love that. What's his name?
Ed.
All right, so big shout out to Ed. Not Fireman Ed, right?
Definitely not Fireman Ed.
Okay, that guy's...
Although similar temperament.
Okay, all right. Big shout out to our buddy Ed for listening. But yeah, so people have, you know, messaged and people have DM'd and I've spoken to people through text and stuff. And they're like, hey, did you guys like just up and quit? I'm like, nah, we do this every year. Like, well, this one seems a little bit longer than normal. Like, hey, it does. But it's literally only because, and like, I kid you not, people say all the time, you know, the more you're involved with golf, the less you play. And that couldn't be further from the truth for me. I mean, I went almost 2 months without playing a single round of golf because I was so caught up with coaching. And people that have followed along know that my oldest son, Lydon, did very well this year, had a real good year, made it all the way through states. The third golfer in school history to ever make it to states, rebroke the scoring average record, set the scoring record for lowest round ever in the school. So yeah, a good year.
He was also the local papers, like, athlete of the week, like a couple times, right?
Yep. Yeah, he got
that's
that.
Not even like golfer of the week. That's just straight up, like,
yeah, straight, yeah. And we live in, at least we compete in an enormous conference. We have an 18 team conference that runs from Bushkill, PA, all the way down through Allentown. Any Billy Joe fans out there will know Allentown, but I mean, it literally makes up almost all of Northeast PA. It's enormous. So it was a great run, but I found I had very little time for anything relating to the podcast as well as playing golf. So again, people have asked where you guys were back. But Scott, this is all to say that we have been completely dormant, literally almost as if someone had come and offed us completely and killed us. The podcast was left for dead. With that being said, Scott, Spotify Impressions, over the last 30 days, would you like to just harbor a guess at where we might be?
So, like a total number of like listens, like all podcasts or the...
Across the board, all podcasts. This is people sharing the podcast. This is people listening to the podcast, downloading the podcast. Last 30 days, haven't had a new episode in over 6 months, Scott. How many Spotify impressions did we have?
I'm saying 50.
50. Scott, if you were a gambling man, I'd take all your damn money. The number is 13,342.
Hey, I don't know who you all are out there, but thanks.
Scott, I looked at it and I'm looking, and I'm like, nah, it's gotta be, this has to be maybe over the course of our entire podcast. And it says last 30 days. Thank you. Like, what else can we say? Thank you. Big heartfelt thanks.
I mean, that's, again, like, I expect you to tell, like, I'm like 50, and I expect you to tell me, like, no, it's like 500 or like 1,000. 13,000 is crazy. So
13,342. I just, you know, again,
I do, in all honesty, not that I didn't already, but like that just like doubly reinvigorates me to do this.
Yeah. I'm going to be completely honest. I told my wife today, I was like, you know, it's a Friday, right? So Friday's kind of a drag. We came back from the state championships Wednesday. So, you know, look, I'm dad and I'm coach. I was super stressed, not in a bad way, but just, you know, you want to see your kid perform well. You know, you want to see the effort that he puts in play out on the big stage. And it did. I mean, he had college coaches following him for the week. He ended up making the 7th highest total amount of birdies in the field. Like, it couldn't have been better. You know, I guess aside from winning a state championship, but he's not there yet. That's not his level yet. So it was phenomenal. It was cool, but that's a lot. It's a lot of stress on the body. And then I come back and I got to work the next 2 days. But I told my wife this morning, I was like, I am so excited, you know, A, to get the podcast rolling again. B, talk to my best friend, you know, for an hour or whatever, again. But same thing, Scott. I saw those numbers and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, we are, you know, we could have disappeared off the planet. Like, we could have re-inhabited Mars or something. And there's 13,000 plus people downloading and listening. Like, you know, I guess they're thirsting for it, right?
Yep. Same conversation. My wife and daughter at a birthday party tonight. And when I was like, oh, what are you going to do? I was like, oh, Dan and I are going to record a podcast. And she's like, oh, I haven't heard that sentence in a long time. I'm like, no, but like, I'm really looking forward to it. And she's like, no, I bet you are. So yeah, I guess now, like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. I guess sometimes, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder when you're in the grind of doing it, you know, and it's like, okay, I got one Friday, then I got a guest coming on this day, and then I got to upload it and all that stuff. Every once in a while, you get to the point where you're like, oh, this is, you know, it's getting pretty laborious or something we don't get paid for, you know? But it's definitely, it's a fun time. It's a fun time. So let's get into it, Scott.
Yep.
Give me the rundown, because you and I played golf this summer at the old Playboy Club at what I mean can probably only be described as a shithole of a course. And
the second nine wasn't terrible.
No, but the infrastructure around it, Scott, was just, I mean, it was bad, man.
I just feel like I'm just going to put it out there. Like, if you've ever played golf on a course that was like under an inch of water, you know what that round was like for me and Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had balls skimming across water in the fairway.
Yeah. Definitely. And there were shots that were like, would have been perfectly good shots, but because of standing water, it's just like, all right, well, guess I'm not hitting my second shot from there.
Yeah. And I, you know, we'll just call it, we'll just say it's the old Playboy Club. I'm not going to name it by name.
I even tell you what the name of it is.
I'm not going to lie. That's why I said that, Scott, because okay. I couldn't either. But, you know, if a place is great, I want to give it some shine. I want to give it some praise. If it's not so great, let's just leave it at that. It was a course in Jersey. You can probably find it if you want to do some research. You know what? I'd highly recommend maybe never playing it. And if you do play it, maybe don't play it anytime it's been within about 30 days of rain.
That's probably accurate. Like, it would not be good tomorrow. I'm assuming it's raining there because it's pouring here.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with it has seen some water. So you're probably going to shut that place down until at least Halloween, if not better.
We've got nothing going on here. We're actually tomorrow, Scott, maybe I'll post some stuff on Instagram. We're actually going to the Landmark Conference, which is Division III, the Landmark Conference Fall Golf Championships. One of my old kids that I coached against, one of Lai's buddies, great kid, Will Ebers, listens to the podcast, follows along on Instagram, plays for Lycoming. He's their top golfer. So him and one other kid for the team qualified. So we're going to head out to Shawnee Inn. Shawnee hosts 1934, something like that, PGA Championship, something a while ago. Jackie Gleason used to play there, all this stuff. Great course. You know, they're going to tip it out.
If I recall correctly, that was the home course of the East Strasburg Golf Club.
Yeah, that
our golf team.
You are correct, and you benefited from that, from some $5 rounds there.
Yes, I was going to say I was a member of said team, despite not attending said college.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes, Scott, it's about who you know and not what you know.
Exactly.
So we're going to go to Shawnee tomorrow. We're going to watch him play. They're going to tip it out somewhere about 7,000 yards. So it'll be cool to see that level of collegiate golfer. Pretty competitive Division III conference. And what's nice is a lot of the kids that I've coached against in high school now, you know, have infiltrated the ranks of that conference there. So it's supposed to be an awful day. You know, 50% chance of rain, 25-mile-an-hour winds, 40-mile-an-hour gusts, and a high of about 55. So for everyone listening to the south or out west that, you know, hears those numbers and says, well, why wouldn't you be inside all day? Well, unfortunately, it's one of the things us northeast golfers have to deal with, and we've got to play in those conditions if we want to continue to play for as long as we can. Now, yeah, Scott, let me...
That's the downside. Sometimes you got to play in some weather.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me about your golf this summer. I mean, because aside from you and I golfing together once, you know, and people know that you're notoriously known for having long stretches without playing golf. Did you get out much? Did you go to different courses? Was it just your home course? What was the vibe like for you this summer and fall?
So other than wherever, Playboy Golf Club, the only course I played was my home course. Shout out to Henry, assuming you're still listening, if all those other people are, who I honestly did not see at all. I saw other people who worked in the pro shop this summer. Southern Dutchess was my home course all summer. And I would say on an average, 2 9-hole rounds a week.
Okay.
I actually... Unless we were away, it was, you know, I pretty much Mondays and Fridays.
Nice. I mean, that's from where you were. That is, you know, a big uptick in the amount of golf being played.
Yep. And I ended up, I at the beginning of the summer, I kind of felt like I needed to go get myself refit, because the last time I got clubs was probably like 5 years ago.
Okay.
You know, obviously 5 years older, body changed a little bit. Felt like I wasn't really getting forgiveness that I needed. And thus that was costing distance. So a little bit of a switch, and that's been good too. So
do we have new clubs since I saw you last?
No.
That's right.
That was the first round I played with those clubs.
Yes. And look, people, for real, like, this is how long ago it's been since Scott and I played golf. That's right. I remember you saying, I picked these up yesterday. I'm playing with them today. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. All right, very cool. That was, you know, that was the summer of golf. So the one thing that's really sort of unfortunate, just kind of never worked out, but my daughter at this point is, I think, legitimately into trying to learn how to play.
Very cool.
And we can't seem to find a time to get her out to the course to get a lesson, because she needs someone other than me giving her ideas about what to do.
Right. Yeah, that's, I tell you what, that is, probably for parents of golfers out there, that might also be their swing coaches, probably one of the hardest things, you know, to do is to be dad or mom, you know, parent, guardian, whatever. And then also be the swing coach. I just know from personal experience, Lyle and I have butted heads so many times. And, you know, I want to grab him around the neck sometimes because he's like, why will you not just listen or do what I'm saying? Because what you are doing is not working. But I understand that's part of the process of his growth, realizing that, okay, I need to try it my way first to see that it's not going to work in order to validate, you know, dad/coach's way of doing it.
Right. And for her, it's, you know, she's obviously new to it. I'm not like 1,000% sure what I'm trying to tell her. So sometimes she doesn't really get it, but
right.
I will say she, I bought two sets of golf clubs. I bought my own and I bought her a junior set. So she earned it and, you know, nothing spectacular, but they're there. So
nice.
We'll,
I like
we'll
that.
Get there eventually.
Nice. I actually just played golf today. Now that states are over and we've got time, you know, the whole family went out to states, including the pup. So it was a great experience. And when we were out there, I think it opened up Drew's eyes, my youngest, to, you know, what he might be capable of on the golf course, because, you know, he's been to tournaments and watched live play before, and he's played in tournaments before. But the way that the PIAA, Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association, set up the tournament at Penn State was just phenomenal. Roped off putting green, you know, access to only the coaches and athletes on the range. You know, you needed validation to get past the people on the range. Announcement on the first tee of, you know, name and where you're playing out of and district and high school. The amount of people following, the amount of college coaches out there following, the signage everywhere and the course conditions was just absolutely phenomenal. I think it kind of opened his eye. So the last few days, I mean, literally the day we got back from states, the boys went out and played. I played with them today, you know, at our goat track, Indian Mountain Country Club. And it was phenomenal. You know, it was gorgeous. It was like 65 degrees. Wearing my new Swanee's pullover jacket, which is phenomenal. And Scott, I felt like I played like crap. I mean, again, this is probably the second nine holes I've played in 2 months. I made three birdies today. Started off with a triple on number one and shot 38.
I mean, one is tripleable. So
one is quadruple, quintupleable, septupleable. It's, yeah, it's stupid. I hit one in the woods, it dropped, hit one into the trap, bladed that, you know, I'm back ping ponging back and forth. But dude, I would have thought I shot 50 with the way I swung, you know? And that's golf. Sometimes that happens.
True, but also familiarity helps. So kind of know where to miss. And
yeah, very true. Very true. But mentioning going to states and mentioning all the people that were out there, you hear conversations on the side as you're, you know, walking. And look, sport parents are lunatics, right? So if you're listening, you've got a kid, like, and you think, at 7 or 8 years old, excuse me, your kid's going to be, you know, a Division I athlete, or they're going to go pro in something. I'm just going to tell you right now, they're not. Like, save your time. I can't tell you how many parents throughout the boys' junior career in any sport thought that their kid was going to be, you know, all league and all state, blah, blah. They're not. You know what I mean? Like, they're playing varsity as a junior on a crappy team. They suck, right? But I heard a bunch of parents, Scott, when we were out there, saying about their own kids now. Like, I would so hit that within 10 feet. I would so split this fairway when their kid would miss a fairway. I'd bomb it 300. Now, mind you, the whole tournament was played in sub-50-degree weather, wind, and rain, right? I'm looking at it going, Jesus, these kids in high school are playing a course, you know, whatever it was, 65-5 or something like that. And rifling drives and draining putts on these fast greens and playing the wind. Like, it was mind-blowing to me. And it got me thinking, and I want to discuss this point on the pod tonight. Got me thinking this, Scott. You always hear about, during the Olympics, there's always a meme that says, how great would it be if we took an average person and stuck him in the pool with Michael Phelps, right? So you could see what it was like against an average person. Now, Golf Digest used to do this for the U.S. Open. Can you break 100? I think at every single tour event, whether it's, you know, Fake Live or PGA or Korn Ferry or DP World Tour, whatever, you have a lotto, you have an established handicap, right? So they know you're an actual golfer. You enter the lotto, and you're allowed to play in a practice round with one pro. What's your score? televise it, put it on YouTube. What do you think, Scott? Am I a genius?
I think you are a genius. To be honest with you, what they really should do, just even not even go that far, let whoever the head pro is be in the field.
Okay, some head pros, though, are legit.
That's okay. You know, like
some are really good. I want to see someone suffer a little bit.
Let the head pro and whoever the club champ is.
I like that. I like that. Because some of
if you want to take it back, don't even go with like the championship flag. Go with like the B flag guy.
Yeah. Yeah. We need here's the thing. We get real desensitized when we're watching professional sports, right? When we're sitting at home on our couch and you're watching an NFL game and you see a 350-pound monster make a cut and sack a guy or blow a guy up on the offensive line. And we just kind of take it for granted and say, well, I'm a big dude. I could do that, right? But then sometimes when you get there in person, you're like, damn, did you see the size of that wide receiver? That gives you a little glimpse of you can't do that, right? You can't do what they do. But I feel like giving an actual golfer, you know, the same tees, everything across the board, give him a caddy. Hell, give him a professional caddy, if you will, right? I want people to see how good the talent is in golf. I mean, all the way down through the collegiate level.
Oh, completely. It's probably going back like 6 years. I played 9 holes with a kid from the University of Virginia golf team. I was down in Virginia for a wedding, and I had some time in the morning, and I got, you know, I went out kind of early, and the pro's like, hey man, like, you play quick? I'm like, yeah, I play pretty quick. He's like, I'm gonna put you out there with this kid. He's really good, but you gotta play quick. I'm like, all right, cool. And I start talking to the kid, and he was on the UVA golf team. And that first thing first tee is like, yo, man, you play quick? I'm like, listen, if I'm not playing quick enough for you, let me know. I'll pick a ball up. And he's like, all right, cool. And we got like a couple holes in. He's like, man, you do play quick. He's like, you know, like, here's a couple tips to like, if you stroke, but he's like, you move for an old guy. I'm like, thanks.
Love that backhanded compliment, bud. Appreciate it. Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's a different level, dude. Like, yep. they're absolute sticks. I'm going to talk about it a ton because I'm not going to mention it on any other podcast after this, but we're at States the second day. Going into the second day. And Lai wanted some more range time. Wasn't happy with his swing the first day. Okay, cool. So get him on the range. Get him dialed in. There's a kid next to us. Full Penn State gear. Hoodie. Cap. But his bag is not a Penn State bag. So the other coach and I are talking. And we're saying, you know what? Like, this can't be a high school kid. There's no way. Like, he is a grown man. So he goes, I'm going to go up to him. So he goes up to him and says, hey, man, like, I'm seeing you strike the ball. Like, you can just absolutely flush it. You play for the team here. Kid laughed at him. He goes, play for the team here? He goes, hell no. He's like, I have no shot in hell of making this team whatsoever. He's like, I'm on the club team. He said, you know, that's why I don't have the Penn State bag. Only the team gets it. He goes, yeah, I play on the club team. He's like, I'm the fifth or sixth guy at some club matches. This is a kid who, you know, told us through high school he was, you know, low single digit handicap. You know, he was from state of New Jersey and made it to States one time, but came to Penn State for academics, heard they had a club team, and played on it. Like, it's unreal, dude. It's unreal the level of, you know, even a D3, like I said before, but a D1 golfer and anything above that is absolutely astronomical. And Scott, I'm going to tell you what, the high school kids played from tees that you and I would never touch. Okay, we would not play there. And then on most holes, the black tees, The collegiate tees, the Penn State tees, the Nittany Lion tees were 40 to 60 yards back from where the high school kids teed off, which is 70 yards back from where you and I would tee off.
So it's the Trump course. The Trump course that's like 5 minutes from my house up here.
Okay.
They have a set of tees that are like the like pro tees. And one time the guy I used to play there with, this guy Al, he's like, let's go check out the gold tees on whatever hole.
I remember Al.
Oh yeah, okay, that's right. Yeah, you met Al. So like we ride the cart up there and I'm just like, what, like where are we going? He's like, yeah, no, there's tees for the third hole all the way up here. And it's probably a good like 120 yards back from the tips that we were playing from. Just like, this is crazy. I'm like, how do you even, he's like the pros aren't even thinking about it. They're just hitting the ball. He's like, these are just here in case we decide to have a PGA tournament up here.
Yep.
I'm like,
I played Pinehurst number two, one of the times with Zane Lewis,
mm-hmm.
who is actually now the head coach at Fayetteville State University Golf.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Shout out my boy Zane doing great out there. So he told me the story about him and his brother. He said his brother was emphatically a better golfer than him, just did not work as hard as him. So on his dad's wedding day, his dad got remarried. On his dad's wedding day in the morning, they played Pinehurst number two. Him and his brother wanted to play from the U.S. Open tees. Now, the U.S. Open tees, Scott, are not open at Pinehurst number two. You can't play there, but there's markers. So if you know where to look and you know where to go from each hole, you can play the U.S. Open tees there by teeing up at those markers. Not on par threes because you don't want to make divots in places, right? But on all the other holes. And
yeah, it makes sense they wouldn't maintain a tee there.
Yeah, exactly. Some of these, Scott, are like they don't even look like they're on the same hole as the hole you're playing. So on one, he said, hey, man, I'm going to stop at the U.S. Open tee. This is one of the par fives. U.S. Open played like 660 or something like that. He goes, you go walk up to where we're playing from, which, you know, he played with us on the white tees. Normally he'd play back further. Scott, legit, no joke, 170 yards. And I couldn't even see him back there.
Yeah,
it's just insane. And the you know what I don't get either is this. And this is what like makes pro golf so amazing to me. You know, and I'm not a slouch golfer at all. I'm not good, but I'm not a slouch. What makes it amazing to me is the ability to be so dialed in to a target that is so far away from you. Like, I feel if I have 50, 75 yards, I can get it probably somewhere pretty near the pin. But I can't imagine that at 220 or, you know, or 240, some of these par threes are playing out on tour at the Ryder Cup. It's just insanity to me.
Right.
But, yeah, you know,
it's a different, we've said it before. It's
I know.
A different game for those people.
I know. Well, that's why we do this and they do that.
Yeah.
Every once in a while on the pod, Scott, I think we're going to start bringing up some news articles that are just like complete. I mean, what I would think would be like complete BS. Sometimes golfers just talk out their ass and really don't know what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a quote from Bubba. You remember Bubba, Scott?
I do. Actually, we were watching something. I wasn't really watching it. It was on something on the CW the other day.
Well,
and
you're one of the few people that gets the CW.
Yeah, and I was reading something on my phone, and I heard it, like someone talking about golf, so I looked up, and I was like, is that Bubba Watson? And it was. He was talking about whatever LIV golf tournament is going on this weekend.
So I guess they're in Jeddah, or they're somewhere over there. I'm not sure, honestly.
But they're in Miami, but I'm not, okay.
I mean,
I'm not 100% sure.
Hey, if they're in Jeddah, they're in
their like championship that they play at Doral.
Okay. So maybe you're right. Okay, sorry. This came from when they were in Jeddah, this quote. My bad.
Gotcha.
All right. So, Bubba, you tell me if this is complete bunk or what. Bubba says anywhere from 10 to 20 people. That's a big range, Scott. 10 to 20 people. Anywhere from 10 to 20 people have asked to buy the range goats. There's 20 people out there, Scott, that want to buy his team. He says there were three in Singapore, and then after Singapore, the floodgates opened. There was even more. He said there's been talk this week. I met with people this week. Yeah, there's quite a few. Scott, do you think there are between 10 and 20 individuals or groups that want to buy the range goats?
I don't get what you're buying.
But Scott, you're buying the range goats.
No, I understand that. So, like, here's the thing. Like, like, if you buy, like, a professional sports franchise.
Right.
In almost any other sport, like, you have a home game.
Right. Because it's real.
Well, golf is real, but,
yeah,
like,
but this isn't real.
I understand that.
Scott, I mean, they have I some of the valuation.
I guess if you take, like, the F1 model, like, the racing model, like, where you're sponsoring this car, but that car's on the screen for hours while it rides around in a circle.
You know, that's a great point, Scott.
Yeah, that's but here's the thing. Point. You can't put a logo the size that you can put on a NASCAR on the back of Bubba Watson.
See, I think, so what I think they're buying, technically, is the name / the logo. Because LIV is supposedly relegating people here and there.
Chase Koepka got relegated.
Yep. So maybe you're buying Bubba as the you know, mouthpiece, the Range Goat logo, and I think they're pink and black maybe. And you're buying the color scheme. But there's been valuations of some of these teams at, you know, again, I think it's complete BS, you know, at $55-75 million. I just if I own a big company, okay, let's take Major League Baseball, for example. Some Major League Baseball teams have implemented a small patch, some a rather large patch, on the non-throwing arm of players. So when you bat, it's the one facing the pitcher, which faces the camera. So if I'm a righty, it's on my left arm. I guess if you own a big company and you purchase the range goats, that you then may put your company's logo on the shirt of everybody, maybe on the hats. But I thought the whole thing with LIV was the fact that they were going for logos like teams and not so much advertisements like the PGA Tour.
I guess. I mean,
is Bubba getting?
I'm going to throw this out there. First of all, I feel like Bubba
makes it seem like he's selling them at a yard sale.
Yeah, well, that too. So first of all, like, valuation of things, like, I don't know where that comes from, but based upon the fact that we got 13,000 interactions in the last 30 days. For doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
I feel like this podcast is worth $13 million.
I wish, Scott, someone would give us $6.5 million each, and I would ride off into the sunset and play golf with you every day.
I'd take $50 each.
I was going to say, I'd take $1,300.
yeah, obviously.
You want the logo, you want the ability to create your own Leave the Pin podcast? Hey, have at it, baby.
So there's that. Thing number two, and this is I am totally gonna quote Tyler the Creator on this. The best thing about these logos is that somebody who's a graphic designer got paid for this garbage.
Yes. Now I will say, the Range Goats, I believe, and I don't follow, I'm gonna be honest, but I believe is the only one that got repurposed. They used to be a different team, and then Bubba became the captain. He likes the pink shaft. He likes candy. He said, I want to make it cotton candy. So he had some insight, he had some play with it, and they changed it to the Range Goats. And I think it's clever. I think it's cool. Mm-hmm. I think the four aces is a good name as well. You know, it brings up connotations of Vegas and gambling, which Phil loves to do.
Well, that's not Phil's team, though.
Oh, it's not.
No, Phil's team is the High Flyers.
High Rollers.
Yeah. Which the logo should be Phil doing his like 4-inch vertical.
Yes.
But it's not. The Four Aces one is okay, I suppose, if you like the University of Alabama.
Or the Atlanta Braves.
Or the Atlanta Braves. Yep. It's that one's not offensive.
Well, I mean, I think it is offensive because they literally stole the logo of two major programs.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, again, if you've really looked at some of these, they're pretty bad.
Like, I'm just saying that I think it's BS. I think that Bubba's trying to hype up his team, inflate the value, if you will, through his social media. I really, truly don't believe that there's 20 multimillionaires out there that think purchasing the Range Goats would be a good way to diversify their portfolio.
I can't imagine anyone who has that much money thinks that that's a good investment.
I tend to agree. Scott, we're going to play a new game. All right. When this episode drops, I'm going to link it to our Instagram account and the people can play along on screen. So if you're listening right now, what I want you to do is go to our Instagram story. Okay. And you're going to see a picture of a golfer. The name of this game, Scott, is Who the Hell Is That? Okay. And before we do that, Scott, I want to shout out the new sponsor of the podcast, Swannies. Swannies Golf. We came to this great collaborative effort. They sent me some fantastic gear. I'm wearing one right now.
How did you pull that off?
Scott, look, man.
First of all, this is the first I'm hearing of this.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have two pairs of Swannies joggers.
Come on.
I got in like some golf box I was getting for a while.
Yes.
They are by far my favorite, like, pants of any variety.
Phenomenal. Look, I was in touch with Allie, who's like their social media director, spells her name the same name as my wife, Ali. It's very coincidental. Great woman. We hit it off. We are, you know, messaging back and forth. Record an ad, which you'll hear throughout this podcast and future podcasts. And Scott, you know the story of King Midas. Everything you touch turns to gold. That's kind of me. Rich from Gas House says it all the time. You know, anything that I touch turns to gold. That's the King Midas syndrome. So,
since we've been in fourth grade, that's the case.
So. Yes, and FYI, Scott and I have known each other longer than that. It's going on 40 years now. Not to date ourselves, all right? Met in kindergarten, but so we work it out. Everything's great. You know, I knew this stuff was nice. Here's what I love. If you like bold, brash styles, they have it. If you like muted colors, they have it. Their hoodies, Scott, like I got to tell you, I'm the biggest hoodie fan in the world, especially on the golf course. They're phenomenal. They're friggin' phenomenal. What I didn't expect was the quality to be what it is. I'm not going to lie. Like I thought, oh, okay, you know, these fly-by-night golf brands that come and go, you see them on the internet and stuff like that. Okay. You know, it's half-ass made and whatever. No way. Like this, it is, I will put our name on it, all of our episodes, all of our listeners, all of our Instagram followers on this. It's ridiculous. It is so good. And Scott, we've got a code, leave the pin 25, leave the pin 25, and you are saving 25% off. Scott, you're paying 75% of the online cost for this gear, which should be valued even higher. You want to talk about valuations? They should be charging double as much.
Again, people, you can believe this or not. I did not know about that until just now. And like I said, that gear is some of my favorite. Now that I know I have a discount, I will be definitely making some purchases.
And here's what I did. A lot of times you get a discount code from a company, right? You go to check it online and it doesn't work, right? And then the company just figures, you know what? They're going to purchase it anyway. Who cares if it's 10% off? This isn't 5. It's not 10. It's not 15, Scott. It's 25. 20% off. Use the code LeaveThePin25. It works. I put a hoodie in today. I did the code. It gave me $16.80 off. I purchased it. It's coming. Got a new hoodie coming. Simple as that. So you want to look good out there, especially for our Northeast people with the fall coming around. This is what you need. I lost track, Scott, because I got so hyped talking about Swannies. Oh, yeah. Go to swannies.co, swannies.co, or on Instagram at Swannies. You know, just start typing in. We tag them in all the stories and stuff like that. You'll see. Okay, it's easy to get to. But great stuff. Leave the pin 25 as the code. So we're going to start a new game, Scott. It's called Who the Hell Is That? Because I'm watching some golf on TV, which I haven't in a while, I'm not going to lie. And there's always that mantra of like golfers are boring people, right? Let me tell you what. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Aside from what Tiger looks like or Brooks or Rory or JT or Jordan Spieth, it's hard to pick a professional golfer out of a lineup. I don't care how into golf you are. So our new game is Who the Hell Is That? We're going to put it on the Instagram story. We're going to give you four or five choices. You try to guess who that is. Scott, you are going to do this live on the podcast right now. I'm going to give you a picture. I'm going to give you five. I'm even going to let you choose five names, multiple choice. Make it easier, Scott. You got a 20% chance of just straight up guessing who this person is. But first, what I would like you to do is try to guess who this golfer is before I give you the name. Are you ready? I'm going to hold it up to the screen.
Can I get a clue?
I'll give you a clue. He plays in LIV Golf.
Yep.
Okay. That's all I can give you right now before you start guessing.
So that is the Fireballs, which I believe it's Sergio Garcia's team, I believe.
Okay. Well, it's not Sergio Garcia.
No, it's definitely not Sergio Garcia. Nope.
I'm going to harbor any guesses before I give you multiple choice.
I honestly think I know who it is.
I did pick a semi-easy one to start with.
That person, do you want me to say it? Or
Yeah, because at this point in time, people have gone to Instagram story and they will have voted who it is and see if they're right or wrong yet.
Is that Abraham Answer?
Oh, Scott, you're the man, dog. You're the man. Good job. Good job.
Now, the Sergio Garcia team is all
Latino, South American, from Mexico,
Hispanic origin.
Yes.
Which again is not the same, but for purposes of LIV Golf, it's close enough.
Hey, that's very good deductive reasoning, Scott, on a Friday night as we record this. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty pumped. I didn't want to make it too difficult right off the bat. You know, we don't want to have something crazy, but as we start getting into Corn Ferry Tour guys or low-level PGA Tour guys or guys that got relegated from LIV, you know, forget it. You're not going to get them.
It's only the one, right?
It's only one. Yeah, okay. Scott, come on. You know how we do research for this podcast. Come on.
It's all good.
Lucky I took a screenshot of that guy. All right, so what do you got coming up with golf? Is there anything coming up with golf before we wrap up? You know, this episode.
We're off on the November 10th for Veterans Day.
Okay.
And that my daughter already has planned out as we should go to the golf course day.
Well, that's fantastic.
So unless something changes, which it most likely will, that's her plan. So I'm perfectly down with taking her to the golf course and letting her drive a cart around and playing caddy for me.
Very nice. Very nice. I've got nothing but, you know, some rounds at Indian Mountain coming up, and then a little bit less than a month back down to Pinehurst for 10 days for Thanksgiving.
That is that's a really good like family tradition that you've established. So
I like it. I'm not going to lie. And you know what's nice is, and we'll do a recap pod of that obviously like we do every year, but you know, we've all kind of found our little niche. Down there, you know, there's like this one thing each of us likes to do when we're down there. I'm not going to spoil it yet because I know he'll listen, but I believe there might be a special round in the works for Lai for advancing to the state finals. You know, a little job well done, kid. At a course that is not associated with the resort.
Ah, interesting.
And I can spill the beans on this one, Scott. Minus touch again. We are going to go on a nice little private tour of the new USGA house, as well as the World Golf Hall of Fame, which is not even going to be open to the employees down there until December 4th. So we will give you some inside access before the people that actually get paid to go there are there.
Now, are they moving the World Golf Hall of Fame from Jacksonville up there? Okay.
Yes, they are. And Scott, thank God. Have you been there in Jacksonville?
I have not.
Okay. Well, you never should. No one should ever go. I love golf. You and I love golf more than even the diehard golfer. And I would not recommend that place to a single person, maybe my worst enemy.
Mm.
It is the worst conglomeration of kitschy 70s Florida, a bunch of I don't give an F about a sport Hall of Fame, and just, you know what? It kind of reminds me of the rundown Playboy Club.
Mm.
Yeah, kind of like that. Dilapidated, falling apart. It's like, you know, it's like a girl you thought was cute in high school. You saw her 40 years later or 20 years later, and you said, God damn, what happened to you?
I did, as a side note, just for everyone who's listening, everyone knows I'm a huge Disney guy if you've listened before. If not, I'm a huge Disney guy. And one of the days we were down in Disney World this summer, I took a little bit of time while my wife and daughter were at the pool or something, and I took a drive to one of the golf course's pro shops.
Okay.
And I picked the Disney course. Disney golf merch, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then like on my way out, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go like peek through the locker room because I've never seen the locker room here. And they have one of the lockers like kind of set up as a shrine to Arnold Palmer. Kind of hard to see there.
Yeah.
It's, they're cool. Run by like Arnold Palmer Golf. So I just randomly like I'm gonna poke my head through this door and see what's here. And like I didn't know it was there. And there's this like little locker shrine to Arnold Palmer, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty neat. And as this podcast goes, we just go off on tangents. Another Arnold Palmer aside, if you will. Arnold Palmer was a two-time Pennsylvania State golf champion.
That makes sense.
We got the, you know, they give each player and coach the magazine for the week.
Right.
And it has the list of, you know, everyone that qualified for the state championships this year and their hometown and high school and all that stuff and grade and stuff like that. And then it has a list of former champions. Yeah, it's crazy. Jim Furyk, Arnold Palmer twice. There were about four or five
Jim
guys.
Furyk's Scranton guy, right?
No, he's Pittsburgh guy. Just like
Pittsburgh.
Okay. Scranton was oh God, the guy from the Corn Ferry Tour that's on the PGA Tour now.
Yeah.
Oh,
whoever it is.
Gosh, you know, maybe that guy will be a subject of who the hell.
Maybe
is that?
He should be.
God, that's horrible. I literally just saw him on the TV because they had a pro-am to raise money up at Country Club of Scranton last week or 2 weeks ago. And he was all over the TV. Maybe his name's Kevin. Maybe it's not. Who knows? I don't know. I could probably look it up right now, but you know what? That'll mess
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the guy that there was a gentleman with Down syndrome that screamed in his backstroke while he was putting, caused him to miss his tour card. And then he met with the guy, you know, gave him a big hug and said, dude, it's okay. Like, don't worry about it. The guy himself was like all shaken up because of it. And then he got back on tour the next year.
So that would be Brandon Matthews.
That's it. Brandon Matthews. Definitely not Kevin.
No, definitely not Kevin. Brandon Matthews is currently, 193rd in the FedEx Cup rankings.
There you go. B-Man.
But he made seven cuts out of 33 events, and made 300 grand, had one top 10. And, yeah.
Yeah, he's a Northeast PA boy through and through.
Yeah,
Brandon Matthews, future subject of Who the Hell Is That?
I said, there's no way if you saw his picture, you would associate him with being Brandon Matthews.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Just an average looking dude.
That's it. That's it. All right, Scott, are we got anything else for the people?
Nope. Thanks for listening, though, even though we disappeared, but
yeah,
glad you didn't.
Can't wait to see who. Yeah, the right thing. That's a great line. Glad you didn't disappear.
Really
we did.
Sad is if we do this like consistently for the next 30 days and then like that number goes down.
Yeah, it's probably out of luck. You know, hey, this is like the old like professional wrestling thing. Like no one cares about you when you're wrestling day in and day out. But when you go away for 6 months with an injury and then you come back at a pay-per-view, everybody cares.
In the immortal words of myself, this is a pay-per-view?
So either get busy golfing or get busy dying.
See y'all later.
Swannies is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are given these days. But if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swannies side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and design sourced from our very own Weekend Warriors, Swannies is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.com. Podcast patrons, Leave the Pin Podcast is super stoked to have Gashouse Golf as their official clothing sponsor for the podcast. Go to gashousegolf.com, find them on all forms of social media at Gashouse Golf. Gashouse makes affordable, eye-catching, one-of-a-kind polos that help you stand out from the crowd. Why spend $75, $100, or even more on polos that make you look like everybody else when you can get one at an affordable price from Gashouse Golf? Hit the ball a mile and look damn good doing it.